During the recording of the following interview, we experienced some technical difficulties, so we apologise ahead of time for some of the changes of quality you will hear through the recording.
Hello, my name is Tony Reid. Welcome to GAY, a radio programme for LGBTI people and their friends on Coast Access Radio 104.7 FM and other access radio stations around New Zealand. Today I have an interview. At last, you say. Yes, I've been having difficulty getting interviewees, but I've got a very good one today. The Green Party always have a rainbow issues spokesperson. There have been quite prominent ones that I've interviewed in the past, like Jan Logie and Elizabeth Kerry-Kerry. But now we have a new set of Green MPs, and Kaharangi Carter, a List MP based in Christchurch, is now the new spokesperson for Rainbow Issues. So I thought I should interview her and find out more about her. So welcome, Kahu.
Thank you so much for having me, Tony. It's a pleasure to be here and a real honour to be talking to you as a fan of your show.
Oh, goodness.
I particularly enjoyed your show on Elliot Page and their book, which I think is a really important read for everybody, and they're such an incredible actor. So I really enjoyed that episode.
Yes, I mean, we tend to forget that Elliot, sort of back when she was Ellen, sort of was already a big name, more or less her first film. She got nominated for an Oscar, I think.
That's
correct. So yes, she is. They are very sort of high profile actor. So anyway, could you start by telling us a little bit about yourself and where you sit in the grand scheme of things, as it were?
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, kia ora, Tony, and kia ora, everybody. Ko Kahurangi Carter aho. Ko Ngāti Manupoto no Tainui aho. Te uri aho o Rangi Nui Rawa ko Papatūānuku. So I am a Green Party List MP and I live in Christchurch with my kids. Though I did grow up in the mighty Waikato in a small country town called Tikuiti. And I also spent my teenage years on the North Shore of Auckland. So I've been around a little bit, sort of went from the country to the city to the country to the city again, and my iwi are Manupoto and Tainui, so King Country area. And yeah, I'm so proud and honoured to be the Green Party spokesperson for Rainbow, and lots of people want to be the Green Party spokesperson for Rainbow because it is, like you say, we've had some amazing predecessors before us, and we've got receipts. We do great work with the community and uplifting the voices of community and really doing everything with community so that we are kept true to what is happening at the Flax Roots rather than being disconnected by being in the halls of power and things like that. Community is where the answers lie, and I think that there has been a lot of examples recently where there's the rise in hate and violent threats and attacks on our rainbow community, and there are lots of people weighing in on what the solutions might be. But for me, it's about resourcing community and resourcing the amazing community organisations who are doing the work on the ground. Back to me a little bit before we get into that. But I am the mum of two teenagers. I'm a bi girl, and I really, really wanted the Rainbow portfolio, not just because it's the most fun portfolio, but because I know that I can be a strong voice with compassion and aroha, but also with facts and evidence, and really try to move that middle New Zealand who maybe are getting swept up in some of this turf rhetoric. And so being able to be that strong voice and come through with logic, compassion, and let that spirit of aroha reign supreme. So yeah, that's a little bit about me.
Good. So what do you think are the sort of main issues that you'll be tackling under the rainbow portfolio in this parliament?
Yeah, apart from going to the big day out, you mean? Yeah. And all the wonderful pride parades and festivals and, you know, incredible work that people are doing on the community to actually celebrate where we have gotten. We've had pioneers for generations having to be at the front of these fights to get us to where we are today, where you don't have to be the only gay in the village, and you don't have to be... You can find that community and, you know, fly your flag loud and proud. That took a lot of work by a lot of people who I'm just thinking, because I'm in Christchurch, thinking of Alan Eberhardt, who was tragically killed here in Hagley Park. And, you know, how far our community has come because of incredible pioneers like Alan and his family and so many others along the way. And I just want to firstly, like, pay homage to them, that they have paved this road to where we are today. We still have a way to go, and we have this new fight on our hands, which is against the TERFs and to have human rights and protections for our trans community and our gender diverse community. But I first wanted to just give that shout out to those people who have done that work to get us to where we are today. And that leads into what I do think are the most important things for us to be focusing on in the next, in this term and then onwards through that. And there has been an absolute rise in hate and violence and threats, violent threats against our trans community. Our trans community, our drag community, have been around forever, and they will be here forever. So get used to it. Not sure if people know this, but they are so much fun and bring so much joy. My children love being around drag queens, and
I think most people feel that.
And yes, and in these, you know, Storytime Rainbow, which our last tour had to be cancelled, tour had to be cancelled here because that is how serious these violent threats were. And we're talking about, we've heard from like people who went to have this lovely story time that there was actually grown men there taking photos, and they're taking photos of children who are not their children. You know, like, who is the one who is a threat here? Let's be really serious about this. Like, it's like, so there's that. And I think we've also seen the rainbow crossings being painted over. Who would want to paint over a rainbow crossing? They're a sign of safety, of community in places like K Road, which we know has been a haven for queer folks for a really long time, and it was about honouring the community by putting this rainbow crossing there. So we've seen this rise, and then we've also seen this CAS report, and don't worry if you haven't heard about it, everybody, because it's not worth the paper it's printed on. It is not worth the gigabytes it takes up in your inbox, but...
And still, my program on that is still on our website.
Yes, and do go and listen to that, because it is really, it's really informative, and it means that if people confront you with, oh, what about this CAS report that came out in the UK, you can actually say things like, well, it is not an independent report. It is a report made by cutting out 101 of the 103 reports. So we're talking about out of 103 reports, they only used 2 scientific reports. This is not worth the paper it's printed on, but unfortunately, and what we're talking about here is the CAS report, which was commissioned in the UK and is now being used as evidence as to why gender affirming care shouldn't be available. I guess the thing that we worry about here is that it would be adopted by a Te Whatu order but we don't see any evidence of that happening. So I think it's what's really important for yes. everybody to know is that we are talking about a very small minority of people yes. who are being very loud and making, basically punching down. We know that our trans community are represented in some of the worst statistics. And what we need to do with our marginalised yes. and structurally disadvantaged family, whānau, and people in our society is embrace them and love them okay. and celebrate them. Yes. And what we've got is a very small minority who are saying awful, untrue, and really horrific things about yes. trans people. What's really positive, and what I want everyone to hold on to, is that when Posy Parker came to New Zealand to do this TERF sort of rally, to rally other people who are anti-trans, Auckland turned out, like, they were expecting maybe a few hundred people to come and say, no TERFs here, we don't want you here. But thousands of people turned out in, was it in Albert Park, and said no to hate, no to anti-trans rhetoric, and yes to love. We had children there, we had families there, we had old people there. And Posy Parker has been very loud in the UK, but in the recent election,
yes,
she got 196 votes. So, like, this is that's pretty hilarious and such yes. a win for the trans community. So someone who does not have support yes. is being so, so loud, 196 votes. And I think it is time that we all just accepted that J.K. Rowling didn't write Harry Potter. In fact, Dumbledore wrote Harry Potter. So, you know, like, yes. we also just need to be real about what's happening here. And at the recent Olympics, we saw the Iman, the boxer who won gold, actually have these TERFs, and in New Zealand as well, saying that she was a man. And this is where it becomes really the reality of what happens when we have this anti-trans rhetoric happening by the small number of people, is that people jump on this bandwagon, and it's actually not good for any woman who were assigned woman at birth, and for trans women, it is not good for anyone, because we're talking about an impressive, incredible human who doesn't fit the stereotype of what a woman looks, a woman should look like. And so the first thing that happened was she was called a man, to undermine all that work, all that incredible power that she had to get that gold medal at the Olympics. And so being a TERF is not good for any woman. And I think that is something that we really need to hold on to. And we also need to be having these conversations with our mums who might have heard some of this trans rhetoric and be jumping on board with it, with people who think that having separate bathrooms and things is going to be problematic. It's not. It's just normal society elevating and moving forward. So, yeah, let's just hold on to what's really important, things like human rights. And actually, we have the amendment bill coming into Parliament soon, a members bill from the Greens, and now it's coming through the Māori Party, with Debbie Ngāwera Packer is taking that on. And it's basically to specifically protect against intersectional discrimination experienced by trans, intersex, and non-binary people. And we have a real opportunity to move that middle band of people who maybe are getting swept up with a little bit of this anti-trans rhetoric, to actually go back to their values and to be like, we care for everybody. We want people to be their best selves. And if people and trust people that they actually know who they are and actually know the life that they want to live a happy and fulfilled life, and just get on with it. Because trans people don't want to be out here protesting. They actually just want to do the things that everybody does, which is have a good life, maybe go on holiday every now and again and hang out with their family.
Yes, but you were saying earlier that although like in other countries, like Australia, where there is also a movement to ban puberty blockers, which has happened in the UK, but there isn't any real sign of that. As I said to you earlier, I was a bit concerned because Shane Rattie, the health minister, was one of the small number of National Party MPs who voted against the abolition of conversion therapy in the last parliament, so I'm not quite sure where he
And I,
sits.
sorry, keep going.
Well, I was about to add that sort of in the coalition, you've got New Zealand First, and Winston is possibly the most homophobic and transphobic member of parliament and has been for many years. So he might be pushing for things, and one would just hope that National Act would just close it up, because they supported the reforms in the last parliament, and I don't think would want to sort of start reopening anything at all.
I agree. And yes, we do have New Zealand First who are pushing this whole bathrooms bill and accept petitions on behalf of, again, a very small number of people. And it is a good reminder and challenge that inside the beehive, we need to be having really strong conversations with our other MPs and finding those allies. And I'm actually, it was Jan Logie who gave me the challenge to restart the Rainbow cross-party network. And so we're doing that, and we're also talking to the police minister just about when after all these the increase in violent threats and the attack on the Rainbow community, attacks on the Rainbow community, I put in some questions asking, has he gotten any reports back about this increase in hate and violent threats? And he hadn't actually asked for any reporting like that. So by asking those questions and actually putting that in the forefront and having those meetings, we're making sure that where those allies are, we are being able to get them to talk to their parties as well internally, which is sometimes more effective than me over here going, hey, do this thing. The other thing I think you could probably tell by now that I'm an eternal optimist, and politicians cannot actually go too far away from where society holds its values. And so we think of society as this rock, and we have social norms and societal norms and values that we hold. And politicians are like this balloon that flies off, but we're tethered to this rock, and you can't get too far away from it before the people will not accept you. And I think that that is where the strength is in community, the strength is in people. And when I'm talking to the police minister, please don't get me wrong, I do not think the answer lies with the police, who were the perpetrators of violence towards our community for a very long time, and they cannot come in and be the heroes. But the answer does lie, and you actually alluded to it earlier, where there's opportunities for growth and for restorative justice, and to resource the communities who are out there doing this work on the ground. So, you've talked about PATHR, we've talked about Intersex Awareness New Zealand, Rainbow Path, Qtopia, I don't want to miss anyone out, Rainbow Pride, Inside Out, Mana Tipua, Outline New Zealand. And these are the organisations who are doing the work on the ground, who know how to educate people and those are that's where the answers lie. It's in community and resourcing the communities. So we have to be realistic about the realities on the ground for our rainbow community. I know here in Christchurch, you can still be walking to a queer night club and have a car full of people screaming abuse at you on your way to, you know, these are the realities on the ground. When we talk to our trans community here in Christchurch, they will not walk alone at night because they will be followed and they will be tormented, and that is real fear. So that there will be violence towards them. So these are realities that are happening here in my community that is not acceptable, and we need to find pathways so that those people who are perpetuating that violence and that hate actually have some compassion and like learning, because we actually need them to come through and do better. And I actually just want to leave you with a story about Ephesel Collins, who was our Green Party MP, and he died earlier this year, and he was always on a journey. He did campaign against gay marriage, and he learned, you know, with conversations with people who cared about him and knew he was a good person and opening and open to learning and listening. And he went from being that person to then advocating for trans rights and trans people to be able to compete and participate in sports fully. So that's what we actually need. We need people who are willing to learn and to willing to actually do better and open their minds and hearts to our queer community. And it is possible, and we can have that. We just need to take it seriously and resource the communities that know how to do those things.
Yes, there you sort of touched on education, which was the other question I had, which was about these diversity guidelines in schools, which Winston wanted to abolish, even though his own MP in the previous coalition was largely responsible for them. And he actually wanted them to be removed and then reformed in his image, presumably, and put back, which sounds rather radical, but the government seems to be doing that with almost everything these days.
yeah.
But I haven't heard much happening. I'm hopeful that Erica Stanford is stalling and doesn't really want to do it at all, because there have been complaints, I think, from New Zealand First that, you know, they are still there, the old guidelines. And presumably, I think there is something going on about revising them. But have you heard anything more?
So I think there is a plan to do this, and it hasn't come up yet. But, you know, our kids deserve knowledge, and we can't gatekeep knowledge. Kids will go out and find out about things, and where they're going to find out about it is from TikTok, is from their friends, is from the internet and TV shows and things like that. So don't they deserve to get the best knowledge that we have? Our kids actually deserve to have this education so that adults who are experts on it and can actually guide them through. And we're also talking about like consent, and our kids actually need to be taught these things. So we will be absolutely pushing to keep those in there. And in fact, extend them even more, because that's what our kids deserve. We cannot gatekeep knowledge and cherry pick knowledge that we're sharing with our kids. We need to make sure that they are learning in an environment that makes them, you know, be amazing members of society who can go on. And we live in the society that actually we value each other and we value people. But if it does come up, when it does come up, let's have another chat about it, because I think that this is another real big opportunity to shift that sort of middle ground. The same with the human rights bill that's going to be coming up in the next year or so, to actually have those conversations and to cut through some of that anti-trans, anti-queer rhetoric. Because you know what? New Zealanders just all want to get on with our lives. Kiwis are actually just really caring people. And when we have those hateful few who are ruining it for the rest of people, actually, they're the people we need to be focusing on, not trans people, not queer people who are just trying to live their lives and live a good life. I would just love to do a shout out. My darling cousin, who we call Boy, Michael Murray, died, and he was probably the first queer hero in my life. And I just wanted to say that I love him and that we'll miss him so much. And you might have seen him actually. He was on My Kitchen Rules earlier this year, and unfortunately he died suddenly yesterday. So I just wanted to give a shout out to him because he is amazing, and he was an absolute pioneer for just being a fabulous gay man. I
So,
just wanted to give that little shout out to him.
thank you, Kahu. I think that's
Yeah.
noting the time. We've
Thank you.
easily filled our half hour, which is never comes as a surprise.
As you can tell, I'm very passionate about this. And so if anyone does want to get in touch with me, you can get my email address through the parliamentary website, and I'll be happy to chat more. And especially if you have stories that you want to share or ideas of how we can really reach everybody.
So thank you very much indeed for
It's a pleasure.
sort of updating us on your view of where things are. You can hear this program again next Tuesday at 8 p.m. or Thursday at 5 p.m. It is also available on our website at www.coastaccessradio.org.nz, or just Google Coast Access Radio, Kapiti Gay. This is Tony Reid for GAY on Coast Access Radio 104.7 FM and other access radio stations around New Zealand.
This program was made with assistance from New Zealand On Air for radio broadcast and through the accessmedia.nz website. Thank you, New Zealand On Air.